do, or continue where we were in this little book. Let's go to the Lord in prayer quick. Heavenly Father, again, we thank Thee for allowing us to gather together, and what a beautiful day You've given us, a beautiful time of the year when the spring comes and everything comes alive again. And what a picture of us being regenerated too in Thee, O Lord. And help us to be thankful for the beauty around us and what we have. Thankful for all that we have, Lord. Bless the studies today and bless the preaching of Your Word. May You receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And may the Holy Spirit illuminate the Scriptures that we might know more about Thee, O Lord, and be comforted in the things of Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We'll continue our study here in 2 Peter chapter 2, where we see Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he devotes a large portion here, a whole chapter, to identifying false prophets and false teachers. Last week we considered the first three verses of this chapter. This week we will look at verses 4 to 10, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll finish the chapter. Now remember, in the first chapter, Peter laid the foundation. He laid the foundation, just as Paul does for the believer in 1 Corinthians. He lays a foundation, and that foundation, of course, is Christ. So Peter lays the foundation of Christ. He also brought forth that we have a more sure word of prophecy in the last part of chapter 1, which is the Holy Scriptures. We have a more sure word of prophecy, which is the Holy Scriptures. And the author, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God. He moved upon holy men, and they spake and wrote the Scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's look at verses 20 and 21 in the first chapter with that in mind. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we see the author of the Scriptures then is the Holy Ghost. Now let's read verses 1 to 9. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall fall their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We see here in verses 4 to 7, the judgment, God's judgment against heresy, idolatry, and evil. His judgments against these things will surely come to pass. They will surely come to pass. And this is illustrated here in these verses before us. But also in these verses, we see three manifestations of God's preserving grace as well. Three manifestations of God's preserving grace as well. Let's look. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. So we see here in verses 4 to 6, three illustrations from the Apostle Peter, who was again writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Three illustrations of God's judgment and hatred for sin. Judgment against sin and God's hatred for sin. But we also have three demonstrations again of His righteous judgment imposed on those who sinned against Him. But we will see also there's three manifestations of God's preserving grace on those He elected for His glory. On those He elected for His glory. So let's consider them. Three demonstrations of God's judgment against sin and three demonstrations of God's preserving grace. So we see here illustrated God's hatred for sin against the angels that sinned. Against the sinful, ungodly people during Noah's day. And against the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we see that very clearly, God's hatred for sin. Then we see three demonstrations of God's righteous judgment against sin. The fall of Satan and one third of the angelic host fell with him. The destruction of the world of the ungodly during the days of Noah. And fire and brimstone that reduced Sodom and Gomorrah to nothing but smoldering ashes. Killing all those people who were living within those cities. Then take note, though, of three manifestations of God's preserving grace on those He elected for glory. God's preserving grace is manifest in the fact that God's elect angels did not fall. And they are called the elect angels. They're not mentioned in that text, but they're mentioned in other places as the elect angels. They did not fall. They did not fall. And in God's preserving grace is manifested in the fact that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God preserved them, didn't He? He kept them. And then, God's preserving grace is manifest in the fact that Lot, who was declared by God to be a just and righteous man, he was delivered and he was spared. What a picture we have here. So we see God's judgment falling on sin, don't we? But we also see three very clear manifestations of God's preserving grace as well. He keeps those he's chosen. He keeps His people. Look at verse 4. We see that the angels fell. They were once pure and holy and high and honorable. We know that. But through pride and covetousness, they fell as they rebelled against God. Look at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Jude brings this forth in Jude, verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Now we know that when these angels were first created again, they were without sin. They were holy. But our text says they sinned. What happened? Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15, we're given a little understanding to those questions. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And we know that a third of the angels fell with him. But turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Our text proclaims that they were delivered into chains of darkness, be reserved unto judgment. And God provided no redemption for those angels that sinned. Remember that too. God's provided no redemption for those angels that sinned. No redemption. Rather than delivered into chains of darkness, cast out of God's favor forever, in their darkness of eternal separation from God, with no hope of anything but eternal misery. It's God's righteous judgment imposed upon them. But our great, glorious God also manifested His preserving grace in the fact that two-thirds of the angels did not fall. And look at this in 1 Timothy 5:21, they're called the elect angels. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe those things, these things which without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Elect angels, preserved by God, they did not fall, beloved. They did not fall. It was the grace of God that kept His elect angels from rebelling with those who fell. It was the grace of God. God Himself, by His unmerited favor bestowed upon some angels, elected them, chose them, determined by His own purpose and grace which angels would remain with Him in glory. He's God. He did this. He did this. Have you ever heard anyone say, now think of this too, see, it says elect angels, but have you ever heard anyone say, it wasn't fair for God to elect some angels and preserve them by His sovereign grace. You never hear that, do you? You never hear that. People don't talk about that. You ever heard anyone say it wasn't right for God to provide some way for those fallen angels to be redeemed? You never hear that either, do you? No one ever talks about that when it comes to the angels. No. No, they're only kick against the pricks when it hits home with men. That's true. That's when they're kick against the pricks, when it hits home with men. The same God who chose the elect angels and kept them from falling is the same God who chose a people in Christ in eternity. The same God. The same God. And He saves His people by His grace and keeps them from falling. The same God. Let's read verse 5 now, and we'll see the second illustration of God's hatred for sin before us. And we'll also see, though, the second demonstration of His righteous judgment poured out on the world of ungodly people for their rebellious sins. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Again, let us never forget that ungodly people don't become sinners because they sin. We sin because we're conceived in sin. It's in our nature. All of us were in Adam's loins when he sinned. All of us. Therefore, we come into this world condemned already because we fell in our father Adam. Our representative, our federal head. And Noah, we know, was a sinner just like everyone else. Right? He's a sinner just like everyone. Just like we're sinners, just like everyone else around us. Even after we're saved, we're still sinners, aren't we? We're saved sinners, though. Praise God. We're saved sinners. But Noah, we know from the Scriptures, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We know that. That's what the Scriptures declare. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's so with us too, beloved. It's so with us. We're no different than anyone else out there, except we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what makes grace amazing, beloved. That's what makes it absolutely amazing grace. Amazing grace. Noah preached God's coming judgment upon the world, didn't he? He warned them. He preached that. And God's righteous judgment. He preached and proclaimed that the only one way to escape the wrath of God was to come through the door of the ark. And we know who the ark pictured. We know who that door pictured. One door. One ark. Pitched from within and without, which pictures the blood of Christ. So nothing can get in. Not a drop of that rain could fall on anyone inside that ark. It pictures Christ. It typifies Christ. And there's no hope for anyone who refused to come in the ark. No hope at all. But the whole world continued in sin, eating and drinking and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, didn't they? There's nothing new under the sun. Still happening today. occurs even this day, and the gospel is preached and proclaimed. Salvation in and through Christ alone is preached and proclaimed, and many continue in their sin, eating and drinking and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, just as if nothing will ever happen. But one day judgment will fall. And what a picture of the judgment of God is everyone living upon this earth, with the exception of those aboard the ark, died. They died. Now think of this. Is not our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? He is, isn't he? He ain't changed. He ain't changed. He still hates sin, beloved. And he must punish those who sin against him. And the scriptures declares that there is a day coming when he will pour out his wrath. When he will pour out his wrath on those who do not flee to Christ. And this day is as sure as the sun rising that it's coming. It's coming. It's sure and it's coming. But now let us consider, we saw the judgment fall. Now let us consider God's preserving grace and how it's manifested in the fact that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Which again, is what we who believe find. We find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're no different from anyone out there except for the grace of God in Christ. That's the only thing that's made us to differ. God has made us to differ. Only God and God alone. And it brings us low, but then it fills our hearts with joy as we contemplate, me? Me? Lord, you saved me? Oh, what a glorious God. What a glorious God. Look at this in verse 5. And spared not the old world. He didn't spare him. Judgment fell. But saved Noah, the eighth person, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God spared not the world of the ungodly, but destroyed them all in the flood of judgment. But the scriptures declare in Genesis, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Noah found grace. Grace. God's unmerited favor. Now, there's nothing in Noah, is there, to deserve that? Because he's a sinner just like everyone else. Same with us, beloved. There's nothing in us that we deserve this or merit this. God didn't look down through time and see and choose him. No, when he saw, because he knows the end from the beginning, he saw everyone dead in trespasses and sins. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. There's none righteous. No, not one. And by his mercy and his grace, his unmerited favor, he chose us in Christ, beloved. Oh, what a glorious God. What a great God we have. Look at this in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. Verse 7. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Well, who's our righteousness? Yeah, Noah looked to Christ, beloved. He looked to Christ. He's an heir of righteousness. That's what we are. We're heirs of righteousness, beloved. So we have it here in our text, during the days of Noah, God demonstrates his hatred for sin, doesn't he? In the text, he demonstrates his hatred for sin. And yet we see that he's manifested his grace in the lives of Noah and his family. My goodness. Now we know, as the scriptures proclaim, saving grace was purposed for a particular people. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And it was purposed for a particular people before the world was. Before the world was, beloved. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 10. Now think of this, too. You know, folks often, you often hear people pipe up about man's will and it's man's decision. Well, we're going to read the text here. We weren't even around. So, There goes man out of the equation. We're just receivers of His mercy and grace, beloved. We're just receivers of His mercy and grace. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. God's people aren't ashamed of the testimony. We say salvation of the Lord is all of Him. He's my ark of safety. Nor of me His prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who hath what? Saved us. Oh. And called us. God, see, it's God who saves us. We can't save ourselves. It's God who saves. Who hath saved us? God has saved us. By His power. According to His grace and mercy. And called us. There's the effectual call, beloved. The irresistible, invincible call of God. Called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. Very plain there, right? Not according to our works. And works. Works means anything you can do by physically or in your mind or anything. Anything that way. Not according to our works. No. But according to His own purpose and grace. Which was given us in Christ. Where? When? Before the world began. We're receivers of mercy. We weren't even around, beloved. No one was around. And He chose us in Christ. Remember, He knows the end from the beginning. Right? Yeah. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Death has no more sting for the believer. We're free in Christ. And has brought life. Oh, we have eternal life and immortality to life through the gospel. This is glorious. This is glorious. God manifested His grace and mercy to us from eternity. From eternity. And it's not based on anything in us because we weren't even around. And as I said, we're all just a bunch of sinners. But we're saved by the grace of God, beloved. And He purposed that. He purposed that according to His own purpose and grace, right? Because it's God's unmerited favor, isn't it? We're saved by grace through faith. And not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh. According to His own purpose and grace. God, if you're saved, God purposed you to be saved. According to His grace. Now that just takes us away, doesn't it? That takes us to a whole place where we are just in awe of our great God. And this is the one who chose us is the one who the heavens can't even contain, beloved. The one who has all power. All might. And He chose us by His grace. And according to His purpose. Before the world began. My. So God's grace is revealed to those for whom Christ died. And they are called by God, the Holy Spirit. And as we looked at on Wednesday night, they're made sons of God. Sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh my. Behold, what manner of love. Everlasting, unchanging love. The love of God. Purposed. And set upon His people from eternity, that verse over there says in 2 Timothy. Now let's continue in our text. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're seeing an illustration given to us of God's hatred for sin. And God's righteous judgment against sin and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the wicked, sinful people of those cities. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Into ashes. I was looking at some pictures when that fire was going on in California in that town Paradise, I think it was called. And there was smoke and ashes and there were some remnants of buildings, but you could see smoke rising. If you watch the videos, you saw smoke rising from the... Well, there's nothing left here. There's this smoldering ashes. There's this he turned them into ash. Into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making an example. Now look at this, they're an example unto those that should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Again, what a picture we have here of God's judgment against sin. And God's hatred for sin. Our sovereign God. And you remember, the same God who this judgment fell upon these people is the same God who shows us grace and mercy in and through Christ. See, a lot of people, they just, nowadays, all you hear is love of God, love of God. And the love of God is amazing. But they don't ever talk about the wrath of God. And God's hatred for sin. And God's judgment that will fall on sin. And this is the truth of the Scriptures right here before us. Right here before us. Our great, sovereign, majestic God turned the evil cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into smoldering ashes. Smoldering ashes. And they're an example for all those who would afterwards live ungodly. That judgment is coming. And it's as sure, again, as the next day coming, if the Lord wills. It's coming. Judgment will fall upon the wicked, upon sinners. And then we see God manifesting again His preserving grace. And remember this too, we looked at this Wednesday night. This is distinguishing grace too. This is preserving grace, and this is distinguishing grace. Who made us to differ, and what do we have that we didn't receive? Well, in the Greek, when it says "who made us to differ," that's who distinguished you. Who distinguished you from everyone else in the world, family and friends, and saved you by His grace? Well, God did that. So we have nothing to boast in, but except boasting in our God, right? In what He's done. In what He's done. So we see God here manifesting His preserving grace and His distinguishing grace as before God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, just Lot, who was righteous in the eyes of God, and because of the righteousness of Christ, was delivered to a safe place. He was taken out of the situation. Before that judgment fell upon those cities. We know what that's a picture of, don't we? We're in that ark of safety, aren't we? Christ. Before a drop of the rain, which pictures the wrath and judgment of God, fell upon those people, they were all tucked in that ark safe. And God shut the door. Right? God shut the door. And then judgment fell. Well, before just Lot, Scripture says, just Lot. That means he's justified. And we know who he's justified in. He's only justified in Christ. It says he's the righteous man. Dwelling in them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But before that judgment fell upon those cities, beloved, Lot was delivered. Lot was taken out. He was taken out. He was delivered to a safe place. So we see God's preserving grace right here. Right here before us. Look at verse 7 again. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And take note of verse 9 in this chapter. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. God delivers His people. He delivers His people. This brings forth, speaking of the Lord's mercy, that our God is able to deliver the righteous, and we know that we're only righteous in Christ. We know that. We're only righteous because of what He did on Calvary's cross, and His righteousness imputed to us. Our sin imputed to Him, and He bore it all and paid for it all. And His perfect, spotless righteousness imputed to us. It's the only way we can be called righteous. He's able to deliver, though, the righteous, such as Noah and Lot, when wicked men are destroyed. Well, He delivers us, doesn't He? And then wicked men are destroyed, too. My. Were the elect angels any more holy than those who fell? Absolutely not. Absolutely. All the angels were holy when they were created. Were the elect angels any more worthy than those who fell? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Did God look into the future and see which angels would rebel against Him and which ones would not and chose the ones that He knew would be loyal to Him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why does any hell-deserving sinner find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Did Noah deserve God's grace? Absolutely not. Do we deserve God's grace? Absolutely not. Because we're all sinners. We deserve what everyone else gets, don't we? But see, we don't get what we deserve. Because it fell upon Christ. It fell upon our Savior. So are God's sheep any more righteous in their unregenerate state than goats? No, absolutely not. It's just that we're sheep of God, chosen by Him in eternity. It's absolutely incredible. So we're no more worthy than those He did not choose. We're no more worthy of this grace, but God, by His mercy and grace, has saved us. Has saved us. Not because of our so-called free will, because we know that our will is bound to our nature, and we know that we're born into this world dead in trespasses and sins, and we know it's not according to our works, as Scripture said, what we looked at today, but it's according to the mercy and grace of God in Christ. So rejoice, you who are the beloved of God. Rejoice, because this grace has been bestowed upon you. Upon you. All according to God's free and sovereign grace. And His unmerited favor has been shown to you. Isn't it incredible? It's absolutely incredible. It's incredible. So we see then, salvation again flows from the free grace and mercy of God to the believer. How? In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Always in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And does this not fill our hearts with joy? It fills our hearts with joy. It fills our lips with praise for the mercy we've received from God in Christ. Now our great God still has some lost sheep, beloved. He's not yet found, but He knows where they are and He will find them. And the gospel will be preached to them and they will hear it. And they'll be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And when the lost sheep is saved, then the Lord will come back in flame and fire and vengeance on those who do not love Him and those who did not obey the gospel. Turn, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. It's sure coming. It's coming. And listen to the words of our Master in Luke chapter 17, verses 28 to 30. It says, likewise, also in the days of Lot, they did eat and drink, and they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, he was delivered out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we see it happening even today, right? Same thing. All this we looked at today is bringing forth that God will punish sin that His righteous judgment will fall upon the ungodly, whether it be the openly wicked who walk in corrupt evil, or the false teachers who hide their evil pride and their covetousness under a cloak of religion. God's righteous judgment will come upon them and will fall upon them, just as it did in these illustrations we looked at today. But we also see that our great God protects and keeps His people, those who are made righteous by Christ. We saw that today. We saw His preserving grace on full display. Those who are the special objects of His grace, that's His elect. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to gather together. May You be glorified and magnified in the preaching of Your Word. And when we eat and drink, may we give You glory for all that You provide. In Jesus' name, amen.